Welcome back. All right. Why don't we go ahead and open with a word of prayer, and then we can get going. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you so much for just this time that we have together as a congregation to learn and grow spiritually. We just thank you for the ability to see your grace towards us, and also that we can think with that grace and also give it to other people. We just thank you so much for that, and we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. So here we are, 2 Corinthians 8:3, and what we were talking about was that their giving here, of course, they gave to their own ability, and they gave beyond. And you remember we talked about that beyond their ability was doing it as unto God, doing it God's way, right? We can't do anything as good as we want to unless we do it in God's power, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's a big deal because I think I said it last time that you will never, ever get to your greatest in the plan of God unless you do it through Him. And that what I meant by that was through His power. And so you can see that they went above and beyond, but they also gave from their own decision, no outside influence. And I think that giving, I mentioned this, but it's actually a form of worship. Because remember, this is happening on the inside. This is a motivation on the inside. This is something that you're motivated to do, not because of anything else, but that relational aspect and love that you have towards God. That's your motivation, the reality of it is. The thinking comes with that, the grace thinking on how to do that and how to apply that, the no needs that we talked about. But the motivation has to be there as well. The motivation has to be there. And I think that just comes with time, doesn't it? It does. We all know that we've come to love God. We didn't just immediately love at first sight. I know a lot of us think we did. Oh, I believed in Jesus Christ and I loved Him. You know, there's nothing wrong with saying that, I don't think. But the reality is you have to get to know someone before you can love them. And so once we do that, we begin to be motivated by that love. And I think it's mostly from the love that God has towards us, isn't it? It is. We just want to, you know, you always want to give back when something has been given to you in a way that is gracious like that. So all that to say is that grace thinking kind of points directly back to God every single time. It points back to God in everything you do, in your motivation, in how you're doing it, even what you're doing. It always points back to the source of all things. And that's an important thing to remember because the quantity doesn't matter. Quantity doesn't matter in that case. What matters is that we look to the source. He will provide and He will give us the discernment to realize what we're capable of giving, whether it be your time, your money, your resources, your whatever, fill in the blank, right? He will motivate and show you what you are to give. So that's a good thing because, you know, you can really spend a lot of time in that area too. So reciprocation is the word there that we're looking for. So, and think about, you know, the result of the generosity of soul that we're dealing with here. This has an effect. I mean, this has an effect on people. It has an effect on the physical church. The result that the generosity has is huge. But I don't think we should let that motivate us as well. It can be a natural motivation that you want to see something or see the result of something. There's nothing wrong with that. That's normal. But our motivation has to first be that truth within inside you first. What is God doing in your soul, not just the result? Because if you're motivated by results, if you're result driven and there's no motivation beside the result, that's not a right motivation, at least according to what we've been studying here. We have to, that may work in the workplace, right? But we have to begin to think differently. That's my point. We have to begin to think differently. And the only way you're going to do that is to see what God is doing on your behalf. So I don't think being motivated by the results is necessarily should be a priority. So here we are to verse 4. And remember, this is Paul's talking about the Macedonians here, remember? And he says, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Now, this is a good verse because you can see how this is taking form in their own life. You can see what they were going through, what they did, and actually you can see probably how they thought. I don't think the word begging fits very well here. Maybe another context, and maybe there is an idea of they were encouraging them greatly. You can see the Greek word means to ask or to request. It can also mean to petition to God as in a prayer. You can see the KJV translated that prayer. There's a few other translations. Requesting. You see that one? I think that's a different translation. Beseeching. The New King James says imploring us with much urgency. And I kind of like that one. There was a sense of they were motivated. They were encouraging them to do what they were doing and to do it as unto the Lord because they were excited about it, right? And that should be our motivation too. Not that they were giving them negative pressure to give. They were saying to take part in this with us in the way we're doing it because this is the desire that God wants, right? So much urging, I think, kind of gives you that idea. You see that where it says in much urging? So they were more requesting and encouraging them to take part. And more than likely, I would say prayer was involved in that as well. Because when someone doesn't understand or isn't a part of or isn't to the level that God wants us to be, my desire is that we get there. Because if we're not there, we can't make that application in our lives a reality. So you see where it says the favor of participation. Now here's that word favor. This was in verse 1. Remember verse 1? Look, it's the same word for grace. The word favor here is the exact same word we saw for grace, and it's kind of what kicked off this whole thing. It's undeserved favor, actually. That would have been a good translation. But you see that it's the same idea here, but you know, you can also translate this differently. If it's grace, you could say for the grace of participation. It's translated many times grace. Actually, the majority of times it's translated grace. So the grace of participation, and I think we're seeing something interesting here because this is, of course, what we've been talking about. This is the attitude of the type of participation that we want to be involved in. And this also can be translated the grace of fellowship. Well, that's unusual because, you know, when you see participation, and that's how I do translate fellowship a lot of times to help us understand, because we have to participate to be in fellowship with God. They translated fellowship, the word that you're familiar with, a word that is translated fellowship, koinonia, and we could translate it the grace of fellowship. In other words, your participation in fellowship, and I'm going to go spiritually, with God, and that gracious attitude that comes with that participation. And that's exactly what they're saying here. So, and then what are they doing it for? It says the support of the saints. It's funny, when we see the support of the saints, instantly we think of monetary support. But that's not what the word means. The word here, listen to this, the word support means service, It means service rendered in an intermediary capacity. It can mean ministry, which you know means service. It means functioning in the interest of a larger purpose. Well, think about everything that's covered in that word. There is a lot of support. There's a lot of service. There's a lot of things that you can participate in the grace of fellowship to support. There's so much out there to do that. It's probably endless, right? But it's interesting that this can mean anything to support or give service. And how they did this was apparently unexpected, because Paul said, and this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord. And the word they used here is first. First. This is a Greek word that means first. The word is protos, where you get the English word proto, right? It just means first or before, the beginning, the first things that should have came here. So what this is telling me is it's a priority thing. And this is the exact structure that we should follow as well. First, we've got to give the same type of giving that we do in the grace giving, but we've got to do that to the Lord first. We've got to give to Him first. And, you know, there's a lot involved in that. There's a lot involved in giving yourself to the Lord. I mean, I think that's one of the goals of the Christian life, is to give ourselves to the Lord in a way that is meaningful. And that's talking about a lifestyle. That's talking about a walking with the Lord on a daily basis. When you give yourself to the Lord, your life is changing. Why? Because your thinking is changing as a result of that giving. See, there's always a result, a positive result, when you give in a grace way. Because you're motivated rightly, therefore someone is going to be affected rightly on the other side of that grace giving. There's always a beneficiary on the other side of whatever we do, even if it's we started here first. Well, you say, well, wait a minute, I gave first to the Lord, but someone else is always benefited, because what else happens after that? And to us by the will of God. But first, they gave to the Lord. That's the first step. And we can't miss the word here, will. Will. I like this word because it means desire, God's desire. Just what we were talking about earlier, remember? Let's check with God. Let's make sure, let's see what He wants us to do. Let's see how He wants us to do it. That's exactly what they're doing here. They gave of themselves first, and then they knew the desires of what God wanted them to do, how they wanted them to do it, how He wanted them to do it, and they did it. And so that's why it's so awesome, because in this instance, God is glorified. If we do it rightly and as unto God through His power, through the power of the filling of the Holy Spirit, guess what? People are affected in so many ways. And I'm not trying to get you refocused on a different motivation. I'm just telling you the result that will happen, hands down, no matter what. People are affected in big ways because it's the right way to do it, and God has prepared it in such a way where it has a maximum effect or benefit. So, and I want to do this rightly. I know you do. But I think along, you know, with everything else in the spiritual life, it just takes practice. It just takes practice. We're no different. We're humans. We don't start off running very smoothly. In fact, you know, you see the deer, I'm reminded of the baby deer, you know, when they start to walk or run, they're a little wobbly, right? They're kind of wobbly. It's no different for us. We have to live, learn some more, live, and keep going. That's how you do it, right? And you're going to make mistakes all through that process. But no one said to stop. And so that's why Paul uses the word first here. Because this is the first priority that we have to follow. And that's the main point, I think, of this entire lesson. We don't want to jump to part two. We don't want to jump to the giving. Actually, you can't jump to the giving because you don't know the will of God. You but a lot of people try to jump to, remember the second part of the giving, without giving themselves first to the Lord. Well, you know, there's comes in all those problems again. Now, so it must be by the will of God. That word will here is thelema. It means what one wishes to happen. It's talking about God. What he wishes to bring about by your actions. That's the spiritual life. We desire to do what God wants us to do to bring about a result that he desires. That's the whole thing right there. So if we do things that he wishes to bring about through your actions, that is sealing the deal as far as God is concerned and you living the spiritual life right there. Because what else is better than obedience and actually carrying out that obedience very clearly as we're designed to do. So, and what's the result of that? Well, you did it as unto the Lord. God was glorified. And also, another part of this is we get to enjoy and experience the multiple areas of God's grace. You know, I've been talking about maybe a few of them, but there are endless areas of the grace of God in your own personal life that you don't even think about. This is just a small list that I got from our bulletin, but look at this. Well, I left that behind, didn't I? So here's just some of the things about grace. Let me just read them. Grace in God's acceptance of the believer. Grace in confidence in God's plan. Did you know you can live confidently? Live in a way that is not worried about tomorrow, not worried about what's happening at the southern border, not worry about the news, not worry about what's anything going on in our country. Because why? Because God's grace is enough. Remember that enough? It gives us the confidence in knowing that he's in control. And if we realize and we can apply this doctrine, well, then we are confident. Grace in prayer. Don't forget you have access to the throne of God. Grace in daily provision. That means providing each and every day. And I think that's the best way to look at life. Don't wake up thinking about a week. Wake up thinking about today. You know, you have, 8, 9 hours to go. I mean, however long you got, maybe a lot longer or less, some of you. But think about today. God's provision is provided for today. Don't worry about tomorrow. The provision is there too, but we have to remember the grace of God applies each and every day, but we can only live in this moment. So that's what we need to be concerned about. God's grace is day to day. Grace and suffering. You know, when we learn and begin to think all these things, now think about what all these are talking about. The need that we don't have. Remember that? They're all fulfilling some kind of need in some way. All of them. Grace and suffering. We think we have a need. Grace in God's patience with us. Wow, that's a big one. That's a big one. Grace in God's patience towards us and coming to the point where we can actually be useful in the plan of God. Grace in releasing the power of God. God is gracious in giving us his strength, his power, when we need it, where we need it. Grace and victory over sin. That's a big deal, because sin is 9 times out of 10 what makes us unhappy. Sin. When we sin, we're unhappy. When we're sin, we're in a lot of suffering. We're in pain. But guess what? God has given us grace and victory over whatever problem you have, whatever addiction you have, whatever weakness you have. You have given the ability to have victory over that. I'm not saying you will totally not sin the rest of your life. What I'm telling you is you have the power over that sin to defeat it. That's a big, huge thing. Grace in spiritual growth. Thank God for that. Grace in spiritual gifts. So that's the gifts that God has given everyone here. Everybody here has a very specific gift that goes with your personality, that is fit in God's plan in a very specific way, and can function in the body of Christ. got her to think about that, because, you know, if you've been given such a gracious thing, what happens with that motivation when you start to get that grace attitude? You want to use that gift. That's part of the grace giving, is using your gift. Otherwise, you'll use it in other ways. You won't take advantage of it. You may be living this life and not taking advantage of your gift. So grace instability. How often do we need stability? Stability. You know, we just need to know for sure. If I only just knew. Guess what? You have that available. You have that option. It's called faith. You have the option to trust in someone who absolutely is the stability of the universe, who upholds the universe, because it's not something that's strenuous. It's because he designed it. He created it. Grace in becoming gracious. That's what we just talked about. He gives us grace in getting to the point of being gracious. That, I think patience is involved in that one too. It's got to be, right? He's waiting. Okay, I'm waiting, right? I won't beat you up just yet. Grace in the method of living. And that's a big deal, because, you know, that's a learning process as well. Or a mode, how you live, the mode of thinking. Grace in worship of God always provides. You know, God always provides the means. He provides the building. He provides, if you don't have a building, he'll provide the pastor, the information. He may provide a CD, an MP3. He will provide. I've seen that so many times. Out in the middle of the ocean, God provides the Word of God wherever you are. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're in a desert, you're in the ocean, you're on the border. God provides the Word of God wherever you are. And that's grace in worshiping Him. Grace in the production of divine good. You know, when we think about producing and doing, producing fruit in the plan of God, you have to remember that you've been given what you need to produce that fruit. You've been given the Holy Spirit and the motivation. Otherwise, you wouldn't have any divine good. So that's grace. That's been given to you and provided for you to do a certain thing in a certain way. And that's a great thing. So that's a lot. And, you know, this is actually a small list. A small list. This is just very tapping into, you know, hardly anything here, but I just wanted to show you that it's endless when it comes to the grace of God. Because think about all the areas in your life that this covers. A lot. It covers a lot. If you're interested in them, you know, there's so many believers that, you know, all these things that are available, we don't tap into it. We don't practice. So, and that's what I'm hoping you're beginning to see in all this. It's not just your responsibility. I know I titled it this, but I didn't want that to be the focus. The focus is, yes, it is your responsibility. That is part of it. But the bigger picture is, how about coming up to that motivation on your own through your spiritual growth and being motivated in your relationship and your love for God? That's really what this is about. Yes, it is our responsibility, because God knows what's best for us. But at the same time, we still have a part to play, because he's not going to, you know, think about it. It's a lot better to tell someone to do something when they want to do it, instead of to have them do it when they're just doing it just to carry out the order. I think we all start as Christians just doing it because we know that God wants us to do it. Eventually, we become motivated because we want to do it. There's a big difference there. A lot of us have the fear and respect of God, and this is what I'm supposed to do, but we're not necessarily motivated in this grace way, this generous way of soul that wants to give back in that worship of God. So, there is, you know, don't get stuck on responsibility. Get stuck on the fact that you have something inside you that has the, you know, it will produce if you keep trucking down this road. And then here's verse 8. It says, I am not speaking this as a command. There it is. That's why he says, I'm not commanding this. Paul says, that's what we just talked about. Paul says, I'm not telling you this as a command. We've been talking about giving, but I don't have an impaired mood in here. Why? Because it's not something that needs an impaired mood. It has to come from inside of you. So the responsibility turns into you doing it on your own accord. It has to start somewhere. Understand that we are motivated by the commands, and we are still motivated by the commands. But the reality is, you have to start taking initiative on your own, and this has to come from within you. I'm not speaking this as a command, but as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love also. Well, we talked a little bit about love, and it keeps popping up that this is a motivation, and it is a motivation. It is a motivation. You've seen some couples do some pretty stupid things off of this motivation. But think about if your motivation is to someone that is perfect. A lot different. A lot different. So we don't want to do something because we have to. We want to do it because of that, what Paul's saying here, the earnestness. There's an earnestness. This is a good word. It means swiftness of movement or action, or an earnest commitment in action of an obligation. See, you can have earnestness and not have action, but you want to have both. You know, I can say, you know, I want to do that. I really am motivated to do that, and you cannot do it. There is a bit of a disconnect there. But, you know, then again, we don't have to worry about that, because God's grace comes in and fulfills that void that allows you to go to that next step and take that action that we should. So, and I think loving God will draw this out, right? That's why it says the sincerity of your love also. Loving God will draw out so many things in your personal lives. And one of those things is to support and serve. To support and serve God. That's why it started out. The first thing we should do is to serve. Give yourself to the Lord. And why do we do that? Well, I think a major reason is because He has given to us in a sacrificial way. Didn't Paul talk about this? He did in verse 9. For you know, this is the understanding, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you, through His poverty, might become rich. Now, wait a minute. We're talking about the Macedonians that are in poverty, and we're giving liberally, and we're giving from generosity. Now we're seeing the example where Jesus Christ did the exact same thing. He came from something, even more importantly, He came from and went into poverty. That's grace. And not only that, but He, just so that what? Through His poverty, through what He went through what He suffered, through the 33 years that He was on this earth to go to the cross and die, just so that you might become rich. Talk about opportunity. Talk about setting someone up for success. I mean, this is the grace of God has already set everyone up for success. We just have to be able to see it, realize it, and just to see what Jesus Christ has done. Because if He gave Himself for us, you can see how it would be so easy to give yourself to Him. And if grace is sufficient, guess what else there's not any of? There's no missing out. There's no, I didn't get to do this. There's no any of that, because the sufficiency of God fills the gap if you're doing things that are because and through Him. So often we get caught up, well, I'm never going to, you know, I'll never, I'll miss this because I'm serving God. Nuh-uh. Sufficiency. Enough. For all you know, God will have that for you waiting. You'll be able to work on that for 1,000,000 years or infinite years, whatever, right? Till you get tired of it. But you get the idea. The grace of God covers everything. Everything. So they were in poverty, the Macedonians, and they were giving. And, you know, that's directional all the time. They were in poverty and they had that right attitude. Christ went into poverty with the right attitude. And look at the result. The Macedonians were supporting, were giving, and people were benefiting. Jesus Christ gave, the entire world benefited. So the impact that you can have through this poverty, and think about that, because Jesus Christ went into poverty because of the plan of God for us. There's a service there. There's an obedience there. There's a servant of God attitude there that has to come with all this. It has to, because we see service here. But there's also a huge payoff. There's also a huge payoff that is a lot higher and more important than the actual sacrifice. Is it really a sacrifice when we think about all what's happening all along the way? I would vote no. I would vote no, because what Jesus Christ did, he provided our salvation right here. So the sacrifice that you make can affect so many people in a divine and spiritual way. It's endless. And not only that, but these things have spiritual and eternal effects. So remember, God is not human, only a human. He's God. So his effects are going to be not just human effects. People are going to be benefited not just because something was done or something wasn't done. People are going to be benefited right here. It's going to affect them in ways that we can't even come up with, you know, from a human point of view. So we don't need to think about the normal outcomes. We need to think about the divine result. So this isn't saying, I'm not telling you to not get out of any bad circumstances or to, not take care of yourself or even seek a better way of life. Legally, of course. I'm not telling you to do any of that. What I am telling you is that God can and will make whatever situation you're in great if you do it through Him. If you do it through Him, He will. He can and He will. He does every day. You just need to realize it. It's funny that we go through life and we think we have it so bad, yet it's just because we're not aware. We don't have the truth necessary to realize the grace of God, the sufficiency that there is enough every single day of our lives. So this is a good word, rich. Through his poverty might become rich, and this is referring to being plentifully supplied. And what's interesting, I thought about this word, it says might become. In other words, not a guarantee. When you hear might, what do you think of? Subjunctive mood. And that's exactly what this is. This is subjunctive mood because it's showing us this is only a potential. Everybody has access to the richness and the greatness that God offers you. But not everybody wants it. I can speak to you because you've all accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. But I can guarantee you that there's so much more to the word richness than simply going to heaven. God allows us this life to live, to be part of the richness and to build on that richness. So become rich. Become rich. Don't just leave it and let it sit there. You want to just receive it and take it, and it's endless. It's enough, remember? So don't leave that word into a might become. Say, through his poverty, we become rich. So it's hard, you know, it's not always easy. Sometimes we choose our own way over God's way. And there's a lot of people that are enjoying many physical riches of this life. But I'll tell you, that's nothing compared to what God has to offer you. Nothing. No amount of money you can spend on this earth or things you can enjoy can ever compare to what God's richness offers you. Because he gives you something that nothing, that money can't buy, which is internal. So many rich people that are miserable, unhappy. Why? Because they haven't tapped into the richness that God offers them. They tapped into the physical richness, haven't tapped into the spiritual richness. And if God wants to give you the physical richness and the spiritual richness, guess what? He will. That's not a problem for God. Not a problem at all. So it's available, but do you want to enjoy it? Do you want it? Do you want to have it? Because I don't think there's any excuse to put ourselves in a position of unhappiness. But there's so many people there. There's so many people there. We don't have any excuse. So, and I'll stop there. That's a good place to stop. I can see your eyelids are getting heavy on me. So, take those bricks off your eyes. I know it gets hard sometimes. But I think we had a lot of information today, so sometimes I get rolling up here. But God is good, and we'll continue to study his word. And hopefully we get to a point in our life where we can give ourselves to him, give ourselves to Jesus Christ. So with that being said, let's pray. Dear Father, thank you so much for just seeing your plan, seeing your grace towards us, seeing that this is something that we have each and every day. It's something that follows us. It's something that never goes away. And we just want to pray that we can continually be reminded of that sufficiency, that you cover all bases wherever we are and whatever we find ourselves in and whatever we feel, whatever emotion we enter into. We just thank you so much that this life has so much meaning and purpose, and we just pray that we continue down the road to glorify you. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.